Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the JT Sports Podcast. I'm your host, JT. Real quick, do me a favor. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and turn on post notifications so you don't miss when we drop new content. Check us out on Apple and Spotify. If you're listening on podcasting platforms, give us a five-star review if you enjoy. What's going on, everyone? Hope y'all doing well. I wanted to come on here and give my thoughts on some of the money that's being thrown around in the NFL today. I guess nobody could wait till payday Friday because it's payday Monday today. Jared Goff and Antoine Winfield just signed some really big lucrative deals. Jared Goff is now the second highest paid quarterback in the league. Antoine Winfield is now the highest paid defensive back in the league. What the hell is going on? Were these good deals or were these massive overpays? We got to talk about it. Also got some thoughts on the Las Vegas Raiders and Joe Burrow's durability concerns. Before you dive in, here's a quick word from our partner, Mint Mobile. Does it piss you off how much you pay for your monthly phone bill? Why are you getting frustrated when our partner Mint Mobile has plans as low as $15 a month that give you unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network? Stop getting frustrated with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get access to premium wireless for only $15 a month. That's only $15 a month. Switching to Mint is easy. It only takes 15 minutes to do. If you're pissed off with how much you pay for your monthly phone bill, switch to Mint Mobile today and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get premium wireless for only $15 a month. Stop getting upset with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and switch to Mint Mobile today. Jared Goff just cashed out. Him and the Detroit Lions have come to terms on a four-year extension worth $212 million. $170 million of that is going to be fully guaranteed. And when I first saw the details of this deal come out, at first, my initial reaction was, what the hell are the Detroit Lions doing making Jared Goff the second highest paid quarterback in the league? He's making more than Lamar, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen, and he's nowhere as good as those guys, right? But then when I started to think about it, and I look at the average pay that he's getting, $53 million a year, and I was like, you know, this isn't that bad of a deal. Is it an overpay? Yes, it is, but it's not a massive overpay. It's not a Daniel Jones kind of overpay. Because when Daniel Jones got that $40 million deal, we all knew nobody in their right mind would have gave him that deal other than the Giants. Jared Goff, though, I definitely could see a team giving him this kind of deal and then some, especially a team like the Las Vegas Raiders right now. So for the Detroit Lions, I don't think that this was a bad overpay. This definitely was a necessary overpay that you had to make because Jared Goff has played at a top 10 level for the last 2 years that he's been in Detroit. And for the majority of his career, he's always been a really efficient quarterback and a really good one as long as you give him a good supporting cast, which the Detroit Lions have done. He's been to a Super Bowl. He was a former MVP candidate. Then he gets traded to the Detroit Lions in exchange for Matthew Stafford. People pretty much assumed that he was going to be nothing more but a bridge quarterback. But Detroit, Dan Campbell, they embraced Jared Goff. And he's ended up paying dividends for him because you look back at that trade. Yes, Matthew Stafford won a Super Bowl. But Jared Goff, he's been better than Matthew Stafford, in my opinion, for the last 2 years. He has one of the best touchdown to interception ratios in the National Football League since he's been the starting quarterback in Detroit for these last 3 years. He also has won a playoff game in Detroit, and he's brought this franchise way more success than what they've ever had under Matthew Stafford and the previous quarterbacks before him. So you think about what Jared Goff has done for this franchise, what he's meant to this city. This definitely was a payday that was well-deserved because I thought when he got sent to Detroit, he was getting traded there for his career to die. And instead, he ends up taking the opportunity to reinvent himself and end up putting himself in prime position to be a starting quarterback in this league for at least another 8 years. And I know Jared Goff isn't the most flashiest quarterback in the league. I think that's a large reason why I initially, along with a lot of you guys, were a little bit surprised at the amount of money that he's going to be getting paid on an annual basis. He's getting paid more than Lamar, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. But, you know, the more I started to think on it before I came on here, I was like, you know, this isn't bad. Because based on how Jared Goff has played last year and the year before that, I definitely would give him more money than Jalen Hurts and Justin Herbert. Neither one of those guys have really proven that much. Jalen Hurts had one good season. He took Philly to the Super Bowl, and then last year he got outplayed by Drew Locke and freaking Baker Mayfield in the wild card round. He's making more money than Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray. So it's like, is this really as bad as a deal as what some of us think? Because in hindsight, okay, he's making more than Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, but those guys, when they end up re-upping, they're going to have no problem getting more than Jared Goff. It's kind of one of those things where the Detroit Lions got ahead of the quarterback market. And a few years ago, if we were in 2016 or 2017 and the Detroit Lions gave Jared Goff this kind of deal, we would look at them like they were freaking crazy. But with how inflated and how oversaturated the QB market is, if Kirk Cousins, coming off an Achilles injury at his age, is getting $45 million a year, I have no problem giving Jared Goff $53 million. Now, would I make him the second highest paid QB in the league more than, you know, Lamar and Josh Allen and Mahomes? Probably not. But like I said, those guys, they're going to end up making more than Jared Goff when they end up redoing their deals. Not really going to be a big problem. Overall, if you were Detroit, if you were to let Jared Goff hit free agency, there definitely would have been a team that would have been more than willing to give him way more than what you just agreed to terms with him for. $212 million for 4 years? Hell, there's probably teams out there like the Tennessee Titans or the Las Vegas Raiders that probably would have gave him a four-year deal worth $250 million. Anytime you have a quarterback that's as good as Jared Goff, you definitely have to make sure that you keep him around. And in terms of how this affects the rest of the quarterback market for guys who have upcoming deals coming up like Dak Prescott and Tua Tagovailoa, at least if you're in Dak Prescott's situation, I still don't think that Jared Goff getting this kind of money helps you out a lot, because you haven't had the same amount of success that Jared Goff has had in the postseason. Jared Goff just took the Detroit Lions to the freaking NFC Championship, man. When's the last time the Detroit Lions have been in a game of that magnitude? It's been freaking decades, like since freaking Barry Sanders. But yeah, you look at Dak Prescott, this fool does nothing but just look good in the regular season and put donut holes up on the scoreboard come playoff time when it actually matters. At least Jared Goff shows up in the big games. He may not be somebody who can elevate the team, but if you give this dude a good supporting cast with a good offensive coordinator, he's going to cook for you. And that's why I don't have a problem with this overpay. And it is an overpay because he shouldn't be making more than Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar, but it's a slight overpay. Okay, like if we're going to call this an overpay, we're kind of being a little bit nitpicky. Just be honest about it. Like, would you be okay if Jared Goff was making $50 million a year and he was making less than Jalen Hurts and Justin Herbert and Mahomes? Yeah. But it's the fact that, you know, he's making more than those guys, and he's making a hell of a lot more than Mahomes and Josh Allen, which makes this deal look a little bit surprising. But ultimately, when the quarterback market ends up, you know, recalibrating and Lamar and those guys get new deals, they're easily going to make more than Jared Goff. The salary cap goes up every year. Players are making more playing football than what they ever made. So it's understandable why Jared Goff is getting this kind of money. If I had to choose between giving Jared Goff this deal or giving this same contract to Tua Tagovailoa, I would take Jared Goff any day of the week. All this means, if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, is that Tua Tagovailoa is about to set the Dolphins back for another half a decade. Because now the Dolphins are probably going to feel like, damn, like, we got to make Tua the second highest paid quarterback now because we think he's better than Jared Goff, when in all actuality, he's not. You put Jared Goff on the Dolphins, they possibly make it to the AFC Championship. So in hindsight, to me, this is a really good deal by the Detroit Lions. It looks like an overpay right now, but within the next 2-3 years, he's probably going to go from the second highest paid quarterback in the league to probably around the 7th or 8th highest paid quarterback in the league. Trevor Lawrence has a new deal on the rise. CJ Stroud is going to get paid somewhere along the way. And a couple of these guys that are now below Jared Goff, when it comes to the paying scale, they're going to end up getting new deals and making more than him. So I don't have a big problem with this. They already done locked up Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell long term. So as long as you have, you know, your supporting pieces around Jared Goff secured long term, I don't have any problem with this deal. Okay, now, if they would have paid Jared Goff before Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell, and they were trying to struggle to find ways to find the money to retain those guys, then we would have an issue. Because Jared Goff, although he is a really good quarterback, he's not in that Patrick Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen kind of range. He's a good quarterback that can win you games, potentially take you to a Super Bowl if you have a good team around him, but he's not going to elevate a team like Patrick Mahomes did, winning with pretty much nobody's at wide receiver. So in terms of this being a massive overpay, I don't view it as that. I just view it as a slight overpay. Because me, I would have been okay with giving him $50 million a year. But, you know, with me thinking on it, it's like, what's the difference between $50 million and $53 million, JT? It's only a $3 million difference. And either way, even if you would have signed him to a $50 million deal, you probably would have threw some incentives in that thing. And overall, you still would have potentially ended up paying him $53 million. And $170 million of this is going to be fully guaranteed. And a lot of these quarterbacks, they rather have all of this money up front versus, you know, consistently being paid $50 million or like $53 million a year. So I think for Jared Goff, you know, he definitely is a huge winner. I kind of counted him out when he got traded to the Detroit Lions. I thought he got traded to the Detroit Lions to die out and just be a bridge quarterback and potentially get replaced by my guy Hendon Hooker. I'm more upset with the fact that Hendon Hooker now is solidified as the long-term backup in QB than I am with this damn Jared Goff contract, bro, because Jared Goff, as much as I love him, I love Hendon Hooker more. And when, you know, those Detroit Lions players came out to kick off the draft and it was like, give some cheers for Jared Goff, I was cheering for Hendon Hooker, bro. Like, now I'm irritated because I don't know if Hendon Hooker is ever going to get the opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the league. They literally drafted Hendon Hooker to be the backup quarterback. And you may be like, JT, why are you making such a big deal about Hendon Hooker? Most of you guys probably don't even know who the hell Hendon Hooker is. But Hendon Hooker was one of my favorite college football players to watch. I'm not talking about when he was playing at Tennessee. I'm talking about all time. Since I first started watching college football to now, Hendon Hooker is one of my favorite players ever. And he would have been a first-round pick if it wasn't for that devastating injury that he suffered near the tail end of his final season at Tennessee, which derailed everything. Tennessee's chances of making it to the college football playoffs, him winning the Heisman, it affected his draft stock. He would have been a first-round pick if that injury never occurred. So I'm not upset about Jared Goff's contract, okay? It is a slight overpay, but it's not a big overpay that's going to hurt Detroit in the long run, as long as they continue to make sure that he has a good offensive line and some good weapons to throw the football to. Now, let's talk about somebody else who got paid a lot of cho. Antoine Winfield Jr., man, he just became the highest paid defensive back in the NFL. The Buccaneers have given him a 4-year extension worth $84.1 million. $45 million of that is fully guaranteed. And there are a lot of people, surprisingly, that are saying this is a massive overpay. And I got to ask you guys, like, how many of y'all truly watch Antoine Winfield? And don't lie. Just be honest. Because if you did, you would understand why he's worth every penny that the Buccaneers are giving him. He was second in the team last year in tackles. He also was second on the team in sacks with six. Imagine your safety being second on your team in tackles and being second on your team in sacks. And then he led the team in interceptions, pass breakups, forced fumbles. He also led the league in that too. And he also received a few player, defensive player of the year votes as well. And he was an all-pro, and he should have been an all-pro in 2022. To me, he's probably the second best safety in the league behind Micah Fitzpatrick. And you can say you're not supposed to pay a safety this kind of money, which is true. However, when you have a safety as good as Antoine Winfield Jr., who just can freaking do everything. He can tackle. He's a ball hog. He's leading the league in fumbles. This is the equivalent to when you have a game-changing tight end. When you have a safety this versatile, he can guard tight ends. He can be a factor in run support. He's the equivalent to 3 wins for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just based off his individual value to the team alone. And that's why he's worth this much money. There aren't too many defensive backs in the league that you can say are worth 3 wins. That's how big of an impact Antoine Winfield Jr. had on the Buccaneers, not just last year, but the last 2 seasons. So he's making more than Jair Alexander, only by like a few thousands more. And then you got Denzel Ward, who comes in third behind Jair and Antoine Winfield at $20.1 million. Like Antoine Winfield, I would love to have this man on the Pittsburgh Steelers. You pair him up with Minka Fitzpatrick, we will have the most scariest secondary in the NFL. But for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man, you definitely have to find a way to keep this dude around, because y'all tripping on the $84.1 million. There are teams that probably would have gave him $90 or maybe $100 million. And we've seen safeties in the past, like Landon Collins, get overpaid. I remember he got a big contract a few years ago by Washington, and he never lived up to it. Antoine Winfield, he's different. You know, he's one of those safeties that he just can do everything for your defense. He's just a complete game changer. So you got to give him the kind of money that he's asking for, man. When he's second in the team in tackles and sacks, bro, like anytime your safety is second in sacks on your team, that's a huge problem. Like, Tampa Bay's leading pass rusher was a rookie named Yaya Diaby, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, I think this shows more about how much Antoine Winfield means to that defense than it does, you know, him getting overpaid. Like, you can't call this an overpay if you've watched Tampa Bay the last 2 years, because you would know just how much he means to that defense. You take him off last year's Buccaneers team, maybe they don't even make it to the playoffs or win the division. He's that impactful. And I know it's hard to think of a safety meaning that much to their team, but think about Micah Fitzpatrick. You know, he's also one of the highest paid at his position. And when he's not on the field, the Steelers' defense is tremendously worse as compared to him being on it. I know safety is a position that many people feel that you don't have to overpay. You can find a decent safety and only give him like $5-6 million a year. And that's understandable. But when you find superstars like Antoine Winfield Jr., you have to pay him. The name of the game is keeping your best players around. Do you know how many teams, you know, actually hit on at least 3 or more draft picks in a draft? Not too many. Most teams are lucky enough to walk away with 2 starters from any draft class. If you can walk away from a draft class with 3-4 high-level guys, you would be stupid to allow them to walk away. The name of the game is retaining your top talent. Now, it'll be a difference if you have to make the decision between keeping Antoine Winfield Jr. and maybe Baker Mayfield or a quarterback, but that isn't the case. You got Baker Mayfield locked up long-term. You got Antoine Winfield Jr. now locked up long-term. And this has been Tampa Bay's best player on defense for the past 2 seasons. So, I mean, when this dude has over 100-plus tackles, he has 6 sacks, which is second on your team. He's leading the league in forced fumbles. How can you not pay him? He's filling up the stat sheet. What does Charles Barkley and those boys call people who fill up the stats? Stat sheet stuffers? That's exactly what Antoine Winfield Jr. is. So I don't have any problem with him now becoming the highest paid defensive back in the league. I just think it caught a lot of us by surprise because you hear the name Antoine Winfield Jr., you're kind of like, huh? Like, this dude's actually that good? But if you go, you look at his numbers and you watch a little bit of his highlights, you definitely understand why. Like, even I was a little bit shocked because I knew he was a good player, but I didn't know he was this freaking good where he was just doing everything for Tampa Bay. It was like, damn, like, I wonder how bad Tampa Bay would be if they were just to let him walk away. Certain players like this, you just don't let walk away. Like, when they ask for a huge amount of money, you pay them everything that they want. You know, so I don't have any problem with the Antoine Winfield extension. I don't view it as an overpay. The dude definitely is worth the money. And if you watch Tampa Bay the last couple of years, you would definitely understand why. I mean, he's leading the team in interceptions, pass breakups, forced fumbles, second in tackles, second in sacks. He deserves every single amount that he's about to get. Congratulations to him. You know, I like Antonio Pierce, but he has his work cut out for him this upcoming season, man, because ain't no way the Raiders are going to finish any better than third place in the AFC West with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell at quarterback. And look, I get it. Antonio Pierce won a good amount with Aiden O'Connell going up against backup quarterbacks. He also was able to steal a win against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs on Christmas. It was a Christmas miracle. But with the way the AFC West is going to be this season, now that the Chargers are going to actually have a legit coach in Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert's going to be fully healthy, you're going to have the Chiefs that are going to be better this season than what they were last year, and even the Denver Broncos, with Bo Nix at the helm, they're going to surprise a lot of people this year. This is an NFL now where it's really hard to win if you don't even have above average quarterback play. And unless you can get that out of Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, I don't see the Raiders winning no more than maybe 5-6 games. Now, that doesn't mean that I think Antonio Pierce is a garbage coach. You know, it's just that it's hard to win when you don't have good quarterback play. And when you're in the division where you have Patrick Mahomes, the best QB in the game, and Justin Herbert, who's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the game, and you got Jim Harbaugh, who's a proven head coach, we know that Jim Harbaugh wins. Okay, he's won everywhere that he's been. There's no reason to believe that he won't win with the Chargers. I was really disappointed to see the Raiders walk away from this past year's draft with no quarterback. If they would have got Michael Penix, which I'm pretty sure was the guy they wanted, but Atlanta fucked that up for everybody, I pretty much saw the writing on the wall. And where do the Raiders go from here? Well, I mean, the only thing that you have going for you is that your defense is going to be good. And overall, you should have a really good team. The offensive line should be pretty good. You got Jackson Powers, Johnson out of Oregon. He's a monster. You got Brock Bowers. You got a really good team. And your defense is going to be really good, too. So now, if you're a Raiders fan, you just have to sit back and wait to see what quarterback falls in your lap next year's draft. Because next year's quarterback class is not going to be that good, but you're going to have Carson Beck. You're going to have Shedeur Sanders. So you're going to have the opportunity to walk away with the franchise quarterback next year, and then you should be able to compete for a playoff spot. Now, if you find a way to compete for a playoff spot this year, Antonio Pierce has all my respect, and without a doubt, he should win Coach of the Year. If he can find a way to squeeze 8 or 9 wins out of this team this year, he's doing miracle work down there in Las Vegas, bro. Because, listen, it's a difference between beating backup quarterbacks like what you did last year. Did you know that 4 out of 5 of Antonio Pierce's wins last year as the interim head coach of the Raiders came against backup quarterbacks? The only starting quarterback he beat was Patrick Mahomes, and that was a Christmas miracle. Like, they beat the New York Giants with Tommy DeVito. They beat the New York Jets with Zach Wilson, and he was a backup because Aaron Rodgers was starting at the start of the season. And then you beat Jarrett Stidham at the end of the year. And, of course, we all remember when they annihilated the L.A. Chargers on Thursday Night Football, and they got Brandon Staley fired. But you were going up against Easton Stick, and that team quit on the Chargers. I want to see what Antonio Pierce does now as the full-time head coach of the Raiders going up against you know, Jim Harbaugh and Andy Reid twice in a year again. Because it's a difference when you're going up against Brandon Staley and all these backups versus now when you're going up against a fully high-powered Chargers team that has great coaching now, somebody that's going to be able to help Justin Herbert finally be able to have the success that many people criticize him for not having. And we already know what the Chiefs do every single season. And what makes this season tough for the Raiders is that their schedule isn't easy. Now, their official schedule hasn't released yet with the weeks and days that they play certain teams, but just looking at their opponents, they play every team in the AFC North and NFC South. Now, you should be able to have success against the NFC South, but the AFC North, you know, asking the Raiders to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Browns, the Bengals, and the Ravens with the healthy Lamar and Joe Burrow, it's going to be a tough task when you got Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell at quarterback. Gardner Minshew, he's a decent quarterback, but that's the problem with Gardner Minshew. He's a decent quarterback. Many Indianapolis Colts fans would tell you that if they had Anthony Richardson starting for the whole entire season, they probably would have made it to the playoffs. Hell, you saw that final game of the season when the Colts lost to the Houston Texans and Gardner Minshew threw the ball in the dirt to that running back on that 4th-and-1. You remember when he got Michael Pittman's head freaking taken off because he threw him a damn kill shot. Gardner Minshew is a decent quarterback that's good enough to get you by a season and keep you respectable. You're not going to be a crappy team of Gardner Minshew at QB, but you're not going to be a playoff team neither with how tough your schedule is and how tough the division is. Like, I don't understand why these Raiders fans keep on living off, you know, what Antonio Pierce did last year when he didn't really beat any good teams outside of Kansas City. And Kansas City, they weren't good when you beat them. That same Chiefs team that you played in the regular season was not that Chiefs team that you saw in the postseason. If you would have played the postseason version of Kansas City, they would have beat you by at least 5 touchdowns. Kansas City is just one of those teams that once they get to the playoffs, they flip a different switch. And I remember the last time I got caught up into the Raiders interim head coach hype when they had Rich Bisaccia and he turned their season around. They went to the playoffs and they lost to Cincinnati in wild card, and then they got rid of him and then they brought in Josh McDaniels, and people thought since that was a playoff team before with an interim head coach, imagine what you could do with the guy who you actually hired to be your full-time head coach. And we saw how that played out. And as much as I love Antonio Pierce, I'm not ready to anoint him yet. He still has a lot that he has to show me. We've seen plenty of instances where these interim head coaches have caught fire, you know, the team starts to galvanize behind them, and then things go left once they get the full opportunity. So if anything, Antonio Pierce has more to prove to Raider Nation and the rest of the NFL than what he did last year. Last year, nobody expected the Raiders to even be able to win the amount of games they did with AP at the helm. But now, with you having to go up against Gardner Minshew, well, with you having Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, and you're going up against Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, you know, Lamar Jackson, you're pretty much bringing the equivalent to a knife in a gunfight. These guys have some of the best quarterbacks in the game. Meanwhile, you have two of the worst quarterbacks in the game, at least when it comes to starting quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew isn't terrible. I'll take him over Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones. Hell, I would take him over the dude we got starting for my favorite team right now, Russell Wilson. But that doesn't say a lot. In today's NFL, it's a quarterback-driven league. And when you don't have great quarterback play, you put yourself at a disadvantage, especially when you're a defensive-minded coach like Antonio Pierce is. Kevin Stefanski went to the postseason last year with Joe Flacco. Kevin O'Connell was able to somewhat keep Minnesota afloat when Kirk Cousins went out with that Achilles injury. You want to know why? Because they're offensive-minded coaches. When you're a defensive-minded coach, though, it's a lot harder to win when you're always at a disadvantage nearly every single week when it comes to the quarterback comparison. The only defensive-minded coach that finds ways to win with whoever at quarterback is Mike Tomlin. And even then, there's only so far you can go when you don't have good quarterback play. If the Raiders would have had Michael Penix, I would be viewing this team so much more differently than what I am now. Like, one of the biggest disappointments of this offseason had to be the Raiders walking away without an upgrade at quarterback. So I really don't see the Raiders having that much success this year. I don't believe that's going to be an indicator that Antonio Pierce is a bad coach. I just think that it's more of an indicator that, hey, need to make sure it's more of a priority next offseason to get a quarterback. And I really hope that they get Shedeur Sanders, because Deion and Antonio Pierce already have a pretty good relationship. Shedeur Sanders would get the opportunity to play indoors. I don't care what the naysayers are saying about Shedeur Sanders. He's a first-round caliber quarterback. And with the team that the Raiders already have right now, you put Shedeur Sanders on that team next year, you should be a playoff team. So this season may be rough if you're a Raiders fan. Buckle up. I don't think you're going to be trash. I don't think you're going to be a 3-4 win team. I'd be shocked if that happens. You're going to be one of those teams that, you know, on paper, you're not going to look that good. But when you play teams, you're going to be able to keep it close. And you may even end up finding ways to just steal a couple of games like you did during Christmas Day when you got that Christmas miracle win against Kansas City. Like, I don't know how the hell you can win a game with your quarterback not completing the pass after the first quarter. Like, that was freaking insane to watch. But I do believe in Antonio Pierce, but, you know, this is just going to be a really tough season for him. You got to play the AFC North. The NFC South is doable, but then you got the Rams and the Dolphins on the road. Those are going to be really tough games. And with what you got at quarterback, you're just at such a big disadvantage that it's going to be hard for you to come close to replicating the season that you had last year unless you get a few bounces to go your way. Joe Burrow has officially been hit with the injury-prone label. All the national media has been talking about over the last week is Joe Burrow's durability concerns nonstop. Like, I think that people are severely ODing on Joe Burrow's couple of injuries that he suffered. Like, people make it seem like Joe Burrow has gotten injured every single season when that hasn't been the case. Like, prior to him suffering that wrist injury, he was healthy in 2021. In 2022, he played every single game. Now, he suffered a scary ACL tear his rookie season. But since then, the dude has been pretty healthy. And now the dude has one season where he dealt with a calf strain early, and then he ends up having the wrist surgery. And then now, all of a sudden, he's just an injury-prone quarterback now? You can't trust Joe Burrow? Did people have this same energy for Lamar Jackson when, in 2021 and 2022, his seasons got cut short due to season-ending injuries? No. People still view Lamar as a high-end quarterback that can win you games and can still be good enough to win you a Super Bowl. Now, when Lamar came back fully healthy last year, he put those naysayers to rest. Joe Burrow is going to have to do the same thing. But you see me, I'm not one of those people that's going to come on here and say, man, Joe Burrow has to prove to me that he still is what he was prior to those injuries, because this is the only quarterback in the National Football League that has beaten Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game outside of Tom Brady, who beat him in the Super Bowl. So I'm not about to count out Joe just because the dude has had a few injuries that set him back last year. I just think that sometimes in the NFL, you just have a bad luck with injuries if you're a quarterback of Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow's stature. You know, like, they got hit a lot early into their career. Lamar Jackson was running the ball a lot, and eventually those hits kind of took a toll on him, you know, like his third, fourth year into the league. But eventually, you know, when the Ravens got it together, they started using Lamar Jackson more as a passer and less as a runner. We saw he was healthy for all of last year. The problem with Joe Burrow is that the dude has been hit so much because Cincinnati is still trying to figure out with the offensive line that these hits are starting to add up. And they're adding up really fast, because when the dude came out of LSU, he already was like 20-something years old. So when you got somebody that is at the stage that Joe Burrow is at in his career, when he's already been to a Super Bowl, he's been the only QB that's active that's beating Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game, I think that he deserves the benefit of a doubt that he's going to be able to bounce back from these injuries and he's going to still be the same player that he was prior to sustaining them. I don't think he's Chad Pennington 2.0, and if he is, he's a damn good version of him. When Joe Burrow is healthy, the Bengals have a shot to win the Super Bowl every single season. There's a reason why they call Arrowhead Burrowhead. You see, like, I think that we overreact way too often to injuries. A guy gets injured 1 year, and then all of a sudden he gets called injury prone when his previous two seasons he's played in every single game. That makes no sense. Like, Joe Burrow is still, to me, the second best quarterback in the league until somebody else like Lamar or Josh Allen can actually beat Patrick Mahomes on the road. You see, Kansas City, when they see Cincinnati on their schedule, they get scared. You want to know why? Because they know Patrick Mahomes is going up against the Patrick Mahomes stopper. Joe Burrow is still one of those ones. He's still one of one. And he's easily going to win comeback player of the year unless Aaron Rodgers just surprises us all and at 40-something years old, he's able to string along a season that can carry the New York Jets and that probably franchise to the postseason. But I don't see that happening. Like, I really don't understand the overreactions to Joe Burrow's injuries. Like, people act like this dude has been injured every single year of his career when that's far from the truth. I just told you guys in 2021 and 2022, he played in all 16 regular season games. Hell, he might not have been 100% during all of them, but who is? Y'all watch the NFL every single week. It's a gladiator sport out there. I'm glad I'm not playing the NFL because you take one hit, if you're me, and you're automatically getting sent to the hospital. It's DOA. Joe Burrow is a tough, he's a warrior, and he's the heart and soul of that franchise. This dude carried the Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl behind the worst offensive line to make it to the Super Bowl in the modern Super Bowl era. This dude won a playoff game being sacked, what, like 11 times? So if there's anybody who I'm not about to doubt, it's Joe Burrow because he shows you that every time you count him out, he always comes back stronger. You know, last season, he started out a little bit slow, but then he had that game against the San Francisco 49ers where he just absolutely picked apart and dismantled that defense. Like, Joe Burrow still is the second best quarterback in the league to me. Y'all can call me biased all you want to, because I am a big Joe Burrow fan, but I don't think I can be too biased if I'm a Steelers fan. I'm giving him props. Like, Joe Burrow still is one of those ones, man. Until somebody else can beat Patrick Mahomes in a regular season, I don't want to hear anything else about Joe Burrow's durability concerns. Or you won't hear any concerns out of me because I ain't worried about Joe Burrow. I know what the brother does when he's healthy. And injuries are one of those things that is so unpredictable that you just can't predict when a guy's going to get injured. Now, I could understand if he was a guy that was injured for 3 straight years in a row or 4 straight years in a row. That's understandable. Like, if he was Jimmy Garoppolo, it's not a matter of if he can stay healthy. It's a matter of when he's going to get injured. But he's not that kind of quarterback. The dude's only had 2 years that he's missed out of four due to injuries. And we just seem to ignore the 2 seasons that he was fully healthy just didn't happen. This is it for this episode of the JT Sports Podcast. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. If you enjoyed, give us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. Share the pod with your friends, family members, and acquaintances. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at JT Sports_ and on X at JT Sports_. And remember that we're not just a YouTube channel. You can find every episode of the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from. The JT Sports Podcast is available. I appreciate you guys for tuning in, and I will see you guys shortly with another episode.